I would invite you to stand for the reading of God's word.
Our scripture reading this morning is Genesis 22, verses 1 through 19. It can be found in your pew Bibles on page 31. Stop standing on your shoes. Sometime later, God tested Abraham, said to him, "Abraham, here I am, Lord," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father."
"Yes, my son," Abraham replied.
"The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba. And Abraham stayed in Beersheba. Here ends the scripture reading. This is God's holy word. You may be seated.
Thank you, Martha, for reading God's word for us this morning. John Michael, can I move this?
Yeah.
Is that all right? Can we turn this fan down a little bit, or does it not turn down at all? Okay. Just. Up here battling the pages of my Bible as they flap in the breeze. It was the summer of 2013. Trish and I were living in Madras, Oregon. Savannah was 3.5 years old. Denver was 1.5 years old. As I sat in our living room, I remember Trish was in the living room with me, and I was reading my Bible. And I happened upon this passage as I was reading. I'd heard it before, grew up in church, heard it preached, I heard it taught on, I heard it spoken of, I heard it read, not much different than this morning as it was read before us. As I read through this passage in Genesis 22. At that time of my life, going through what was a very difficult situation for me, as I read this passage, the first thing that came to mind as I read it was this. What kind of God would ask a father to sacrifice his own son? What kind of God would do that? This was not a moment of awe for me. This is a moment of anger, frustration, hurt, pain, anguish, darkness, sadness. In my mind, I wanted to throw my Bible across the room. What kind of God would ask a father to do this? I remember saying, "Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are?" As I sat there for another 5 minutes, God answered that question. He answered that question. He showed me what kind of God he is. My hope is that as we work through this passage this morning, we also will see what kind of God he is. That as we ask the question, what kind of God would do this, he answers it in a resoundingly beautiful, wonderful, magnificent way, in a way that we could never imagine. In a way that we could never imagine, that he is this kind of God. This comes shortly after Isaac is born. He's a teenager at this point in chapter 22. Isaac is born in chapter 21. In chapter 22, he's a teenager, a young lad, running about the camp, running about his father's home, doing his father's business, obeying his father, walking with his father, enjoying his father, loving his father loving him. This the son, the one who God has promised to Abraham. Now God comes to Abraham and says, "Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son." Well, the question that runs through our minds is, what is going on here? What in the world is going on here? There's two things that are happening here. Number one, Abraham is having to trust the Lord. And Abraham is having to be obedient to the Lord. He's having to trust the Lord, and he's having to be obedient to him. But there's a reason why Abraham is going to trust the Lord, and there's a reason why Abraham is going to be obedient. And the reason why he's going to trust him and be obedient is because the Lord is faithful. And ultimately in this passage, what you're going to find is that the Lord is incredibly faithful. He is faithful. Even when things look dark, even when things look discouraging, even when things look even deadly, the Lord is faithful. Chapter 22 starts off this way. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." You notice the word here, tested. There's a couple different ways we can understand this word, tested. One is to test someone because you're not sure what is in them. Another way to test them is to prove what is in them. To prove what is in them. So if I were to have Denver come up here and I were to say, "Denver, I want you to play Man of Sorrows for me on the guitar," I know he can play it. I know he can play it. He would pick that guitar up, and he would start plucking away at Man of Sorrows. I would be testing him, but the purpose of testing him would be to prove what's already there. What God is about to do is to prove to Abraham what's already there. And he's going to prove to Abraham what's already there by being faithful to Abraham, by showing Abraham that his trust in the Lord is well founded. He's going to prove to Abraham, you are good to trust me because I am your good father. It's who I am. It's who I am. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Here I am. He's used to having a conversation with the Lord. Here I am, Lord. What do you want from me? And he said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I shall tell you. If you're ever in a pop quiz or some kind of like what's the game that people play, the Trivial Pursuit, there it is, thank you, Trivial Pursuit, and they ask the question, where's the very first time in the Bible the word love is used? Where do you see love in the Bible for the first time? That word, love, in the Bible for the first time, here it is. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. There it is. The first time the word love is used in the Bible is right here. And it's used to describe this filial love, deep, compassionate, wonderful relationship that a father has with a son. Take this son, your only son, your beloved son, the one in whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I shall tell you. Now, is God condoning child sacrifice? One of the things that was fairly common in Abraham's day when this is written, when this happens, is child sacrifice. Is God condoning child sacrifice? No. No, not for a couple reasons. Number one, child sacrifice is always done in Scripture, according to even in ancient Near East history, is always done in a sense of urgency or panic or fear where you're trying to somehow earn the favor of a god. You're trying to earn that God's favor. Abraham knows he doesn't have to earn God's favor. Abraham knows he has God's favor already. By the birth of Isaac, he knows he has God's favor. That promise came true. He knows his God, and he knows his God loves him. He doesn't have to earn anything. Number two, another reason. Child sacrifice in that day was always done to very young children. Hardly ever over the age of six. Why? Because by the time a little boy or becomes 10, 11, 12, 14, 16, 18 years old, they're hard to grab onto. Right? So they would take little children because they're defenseless. Number three, the reason why God is not condoning child sacrifice is because he makes it very explicit in his word in the Old Testament. I despise that. Despise that. You do not sacrifice your children to me in order to earn my favor. That's not how you earn my favor. My favor cannot be earned. My favor cannot be earned. So what's happening here? Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning. How does Abraham respond to this? Early in the morning, he's up, he's moving, he's ready to go. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men, two of the helpers with him, and his son, Isaac. If you go home and you read through this passage today, if you underline anything, look for the word son over and over and over again. Your son, your son, your son, his son, his son, his son. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering. And he rose and he went to the place that God had told him. The narrative is slowing down now. It's getting very personal. You can see Abraham wake early in the morning, knowing what he's being asked to do. As he puts on his robe, he goes outside. He sees his donkey. He realizes that's the donkey that's going to carry the wood. He goes and he cuts the wood, and with each slice, each chop, each saw blade on the wood, it's reminding him of what he has been called to do, what he's being asked to do by the Lord. And as he begins to pile the wood on the donkey and he brings his two men around, all of a sudden he goes and now he gets his son. His beloved son. The son of his heart, the son of his promise, the son of his hope, the son of his joy, the son who he has conversation with, the son who he delights in. And he says, we're going. On the third day, verse 4, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to the young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come to you again. What is going on here? What is going on here? On the third day, he shows up. He sees the place. Abraham looks at the two men. He says, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy, my son, will go over there and worship. What we're about to do, you two men have nothing to do with. I and my son alone are going to go and we're going to worship. No matter what happens in that place that we're going to, we are going to worship the Lord. No matter what comes of this situation, no matter what happens in the midst of this trial, no matter what happens in the midst of this test, we are going to go and worship the Lord. Worship is going to happen at that place where God has called sacrifice to be had. Worship will happen. Mingled with tears, worship is going to happen. I and the boy will go over there and worship. And then he says this, and will come again to you. Well, wasn't Abraham just told, you're going to sacrifice your son? Well, why does Abraham begin to even think he's going to return with Isaac? Is he lying to the two men? Is he being deceptive? Is he being deceptive to Isaac? Is he lying to this boy who he loves so dearly? Well, what is going through Abraham's mind right now? Is he delusional? Has he lost it completely? Well, what is going on? Well, the writer of Hebrews referenced to this. Hebrews 11:17, he says, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom he said, through Isaac shall be your offspring named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Abraham walks with his son saying, it doesn't matter what God is asking me to do. I'm going to follow my Lord. I'm going to follow my God. I'm going to follow my good father. I'm going to walk in the direction he's asking me to go because I have faith in his promise that he's going to be steadfast and sure, even if it means he has to raise this boy from the dead. He will raise him from the dead. My hope is tied to this boy. My life is tied to this boy. My anticipation of joy is tied to this boy. And even if this son has to be raised from the dead, he will raise him from the dead. We're going to worship. We're going to worship. Even if it means resurrection from the dead. We're going to worship. We're going to worship. So Abraham goes. He's walking and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and he takes the wood off the donkey. Isaac is standing there now. The two men are here. The donkey is here. Abraham goes and he takes the wood, and he takes the wood of the sacrifice, and he now puts it on the back of Isaac. Now Isaac is carrying the wood of his own sacrifice to the place where he will die. He is now bearing the wood on his back, the father having placed it on him, and he is now beginning the long climb up the hill to the place called Moriah with the wood of sacrifice weighing on his back. One step at a time, as the sweat begins to drip down the boy's face, going to the place of sacrifice, Abraham saying, we're going to go worship. No matter what happens there, we're going to worship. He laid it on his son Isaac. Took in his hand the fire, which would be the flint that he would start the fire with, and the knife. And so they went, both of them together. Father and son going together to the place of sacrifice. These men have nothing to do with this. They're left in the distance to watch father and son go to the place. He took in his hand the fire and the knife. This is not a small knife. This would be a knife that would be used for butchering something. Takes the fire and the knife, and it says, so they went, both of them together. Father and son, going together to the place where worship will happen. To the place where worship will happen. And Isaac said to his father, these are the first words that we have from Isaac in here, in this passage. The very first words that we have from Isaac, period, are right here. Isaac's first words in Scripture. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father, my father. And he said to him, here I am, my son. You remember what God said to Abraham? Abraham, and what did Abraham say? Here I am. Here's Isaac. Father, father. You can hear the compassion, the love in his voice. My father. Father says, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire, and I'm carrying the wood. Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? Isaac knows. He knows that there has to be a lamb. He knows that something has to die. He knows that something has to pay the price. He knows that something has to be sacrificed. And as he's looking around, this is not something that is just ancillary. As if you're going camping and you're like, oh, we forgot the stove, or we forgot a tarp. No, this is forgetting everything. This is essential. He says, Father, where is the lamb? Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? My father, where is the lamb? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. This idea of providing for himself. Really, the idea here in Hebrew is that God will see to it for himself. The word there is not provide. The word there is see. We transliterate it provide. But the real word there is see. God will see to it for himself. Where is the lamb? Isaac asks. We have the fire, we have the wood. I'm carrying the wood. The wood is being borne by me. I'm carrying the weight of this wood. Where is the lamb? Abraham says, the Lord himself will see to it. He will see to it. He will see the lamb. And so they went on, both of them, together. And when they came to the place which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. They come to the place. Isaac begins the process of building the altar, organizes the wood on the altar, sets it in place. He's done this hundreds of times. Sets the wood in place. Looks at his beloved son. He says, get on there. And Isaac, the beloved son, climbs up on the altar and lays down. And Abraham begins to bind him, hand and feet. The son laying down his life, willingly, without arguing, as a sheep is silent before its shears, so he goes to the slaughter, laying down his life willingly as his father has asked him to. And Abraham reached out his hand and he took the knife to slaughter his son, tears burning in his eyes, his hand shaking, his heart writhing at the reality of what it means for sacrifice to happen, his heart throbbing in pain and anguish. And before the knife comes down to slaughter his son, from the heavens, verse 11, but the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham said, here I am. Here I am. And he said this, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. Do not harm that boy. Do not touch that boy. Do not cause any injury to that boy. Do not allow that boy to be harmed in any way. I want the boy to live. I want him to live. He has to live. I want that boy to have life. Abraham, Abraham, he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Abraham, I know your heart. And I know you trust me. And I know you know me. And I know that you know I am your good father and that I love you. And you have shown me the degree with which you trust my faithfulness to you. You trust me. And you've not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will see." The Lord will see. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, he shall be seen, is the literal translation. On the mount of the Lord, he shall be seen. The word Moriah, where we started in this passage, that's exactly what that word means. Moriah, the place where the Lord will be seen, or the place where the Lord will see to it. The place where the ram, the sheep, will be sacrificed. The Lord here is testing Abraham. He's showing Abraham that he really does trust him. But he's testing Abraham in a way as to reveal what it means for God to be faithful. This word Moriah, the place where the Lord will be seen, this is the place where later on David would purchase. On that very same place, the temple would be built. On that very same place. In that very same place, in the land of Moriah, where the hills are lifted up, is the Son of Man who says, "When you have lifted me up, you will see the Lord." It is that same place in Moriah where Christ would carry the wood of his cross with his Father with him, while everybody else stands back. That son will carry the wood of the sacrifice. That father will walk with his son to the sacrifice. That son will lay down his life. That son will give himself over. That son will offer himself up so Isaac can live. Don't harm that boy. What kind of God does this? What kind of God asks Abraham to sacrifice his own son? The kind of God who's not willing that Isaac should die. He's not willing that Abraham would sacrifice his own son, but he's willing to sacrifice his own son. He's willing to give his own son so that Isaac may live. So that through Isaac and Jacob, and Joseph, and Judah, and Ruth, and Boaz, and Obed, and Judah, and Solomon, and Josiah, and Rahab, and Tamar, all the way down, you read the genealogy of Jesus Christ, all the way down to Jesus Christ, here you have the Father giving his Son, becoming human for you, that he might be the greater Isaac. That he might be the greater Isaac. Laying down his life for you. That you might live. And as he is resurrected, so you will be resurrected with him. That's the kind of God. Who looks at Abraham and says, please, 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 go sacrifice your son. And he looks at his own son and says, please, 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 go to the cross. I'm sending you that they may live. Father, we are thankful for your Son, Jesus. We are thankful for your mercy and your kindness. It is hard for us to even begin to comprehend the wonder, the brilliance, the majesty of what it means for you to love us in that way, that you would send your Son, your only Son, your beloved Son, the Son of your heart, the Son of your joy, the Son who you've loved for all eternity, and the Son has loved you for all eternity, your beloved Son. It is hard for us to comprehend these things, but we ask that through your Holy Spirit we would have the mind of Christ, we would understand, and our hearts would be rent for you, to live for you, to walk with you, to know you. Praise things in Christ's name. Amen.